Hello and welcome once again to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. My name's Dave Jeffrey and in the studio with me today is Lynn Perrott, our regular reader. Hi, Lynn.
Hello there, Dave.
How are things?
Oh, good, thank you.
Now, first up, you've got a very interesting thing on pushy salespeople and we're copying them all the time,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes, that's right. This one says, do not knock, know your rights when pushy door-to-door salespeople come calling.
Excellent. That's what we need to know because there's on the phone or the everywhere.
Yes, that's true, everywhere. So this is from a Joe Davey and mentions someone called John Stevens who last November, he received a knock at the door. The visitor said she was conducting a healthcare survey, so he let her in. John, who is in his 50s, had been in a car accident more than 3 decades earlier that left him with vision and hearing loss, as well as problems with speech and mobility. The salesperson began questioning John about his needs, but he eventually realised she was there to sell him a bed worth about $4,000. Due to his vision impairment, John wasn't able to read the contract for the sale, and the sales representative didn't explain the terms to him. When the bed arrived, John found it failed to meet the specifications outlined by the sales rep, but the cooling-off period had passed and he was locked into the contract. Gerard Brody is CEO of Victoria's Consumer Action Law Centre, a consumer advocacy organisation investigating John's case. He says reports of pushy door-to-door salespeople targeting elderly and vulnerable people are all too common, despite the advent of online shopping rendering door-to-door selling an outdated business model, he said. It comes in waves. Years ago, they were selling encyclopedias. Then it was roof cladding. Then it was energy retailer contracts. And now we're getting a lot of reports of solar panels, he says. Most of the common tactics employed by door-to-door salespeople is misleading consumers about who they are working for. This gets the foot in the door, at which point they might start using psychological techniques to get people to agree with them. Questions like, don't you like cheaper energy? Gerard says. To close the sale, they often pressure the consumer to sign the contract on the spot. In New South Wales, Fair Trading provides a support and advocacy service for consumers. Legal Aid Victoria provides advice for consumers about door-to-door salespeople too, and the Queensland Government website provides consumer advice as well. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, ACCC, has strict laws around unsolicited sales that govern the conduct of salespeople, contracts of sale, and consumer cancellation rights. Salespeople must inform you who they work for and provide a written contract setting out the full terms of the sale, including a mandatory 10-day cooling-off period. The Consumer Action Law Centre produces Do Not Knock stickers, which can be displayed in a prominent place to inform salespeople that they are breaking the law if they knock on your door. Go to donotknock.consumeraction.org.au to print your own or ask for a sticker to be mailed to you. That's donotknock.consumeraction.org.au. But even without a sticker, Gerard says, you always have the right to ask a salesperson to leave immediately. If they don't, get their contract details and a registration number and make a complaint to the company they work for or report it to the ACCC. The Australian Government runs a free Do Not Call register that allows people to securely register home, mobile or fax numbers to reduce unsolicited telemarketing calls. To find out more, visit donotcall.gov.au or phone 1300 792 958. That's 1300 792 958. And that was an interesting article on dealing with insistent salespeople from the autumn version of the 2019 Flourish magazine.
Lynn, thanks for that. Most interesting. It's a problem, isn't it?
It certainly is, Dave. And there was some other information here which indicates that door-to-door salespeople aren't allowed to visit on certain days, like Sundays, public holidays as well, and not before 9 a.m. or after 6 p.m. on weekdays, or before 9 a.m. or after 5 p.m. on Saturdays.
I know this is not in that article, but what about telephoning? I get calls sometimes at 9 o'clock at night. You'd think that'd be the same, wouldn't you?
Well, yes. I know telemarketers, they are supposed to have similar restrictions. They are not allowed to call on Sundays or public holidays and are only allowed to phone between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. on weekdays and 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Saturdays.
And thanks for that. It was a most interesting article. Now, the next one, I wish, but I don't know. It's about less stress gives you younger skin. I think it's a little too late for me, but let's hear it.
Oh, Dave. Now, this article is from the April-May 2019 Prevention magazine. Feeling stressed is bad enough, but knowing it could impact on your skin might just set off a whole new stress response. A study published in Inflammation and Aging discovered that the brain-skin connection means stress contributes to skin aging, disrupting the development of healthy skin cells, causing inflammation and reducing the amount of blood flowing to the skin, which we need for a healthy glow. But there is good news. A group of herbs called adaptogens have been found to boost your capacity to deal with stress and fatigue, resulting in a positive outcome for your skin. These wonder herbs include rhodelia, astrolagus root, ashwagandha, licorice root, and ginseng, which work regulating balance in the glands responsible for stress. Look out for the growing band of products that incorporate adaptogens, as well as vitamins and minerals to boost skin health from within. New Aussie brand My Tribe Type has a number of blends of adaptogens for a range of needs, from stress support to calming. You can also look for teas such as the Puka Organic range, which contain ingredients such as licorice root. Adaptogens don't work as a quick fix, as they are foods, explains Amanda Daniel, founder of My Tribe Type. As with any real change, it takes a little bit of something every day to build anything. They're best taken in small doses for a long period of time. It's a simple way to stress less for a happy skin from the inside out. And that was an article about how you can unstress your skin. Support at every step. The Walking with Willpower program assists blind and vision-impaired people to get out into the community. This article is from Joe Davey. There are few things that Ron Hooper enjoys more than pounding the pavement near his home in Preston in Melbourne's inner north. The 78-year-old sets a brisk pace among the bustling streets, a speed that becomes all the more impressive when you learn that he lost his eyesight more than 50 years ago. I like walking fast. Sometimes I'll do 5 kilometres an hour, but I've had to slow down if I didn't have Charlotte. Charlotte Miller, 27, is a sighted guide for Walking with Willpower, Blind Sports Victoria's program that connects blind or partially sighted adults with a trained volunteer to share the benefits of a weekly walk. For Ron and others who are vision impaired, the physical and social benefits of walking with willpower are obvious, but for volunteers like Charlotte, the program is just as rewarding. Ron is so knowledgeable about the history of the local area, and he's got the most fantastic stories, she says. Volunteering is not just about giving back. It's also about meeting someone and forming a relationship with them. It never matters how hard my week has been. Spending an afternoon with Ron has always been incredibly calming. You're forced to slow down a bit, but not too slow. Sometimes he'll set off to beat his time. Those walks can get a bit competitive, she says. Blind Sports Victoria operates a wide range of sporting and recreational programs that encourage people who are blind or vision impaired to lead more physically active lives. Its 1,200 members get involved in everything from swimming and soccer to square dancing. But Walking with Willpower is one of its most successful programs, according to President Maurice Gleason. The concentration required going from A to B is incredibly challenging, so having someone go with you is so much more helpful, Morris says. When a blind person walks into a room, they have about 3% of the information. They know there is a floor, a roof, and walls. You cope, but you're denied all that extra information that people take for granted. Each of Blind Sports Victoria's 400 volunteers has an initial 2-hour training session where they learn how to guide a vision-impaired person and keep watch for obstacles, plus what language to use in describing the surrounding landscape. The coaching is fairly straightforward, Charlotte says, but remembering to do it all at once takes practice. I walked friends and family at the start to build up my confidence, she says. You have to learn to walk slightly ahead of the person and look around for everything in their way. Things hanging overhead, steps, bumpy paths. Sometimes I'll describe things that might have changed since we were last there. Spring is a great time as there are lots of flowers to touch, but most of the time we're too busy talking. Morris says Ron and Charlotte's relationship is typical of the bond form between volunteers and participants in Walking with Willpower. We match people up who we think might be compatible, and we let them work out what they want to get from the program, rather than being too prescriptive, he says. Our mission is to get people out and about in whatever way works for them. Some start out walking once a week, and sometimes they even travel the world together. And that article concerned the vision impaired and volunteers of the Walking with Willpower program from the Winter magazine of Flourish 2019. Retirees are streets ahead of the game, the grey nomads. Millions of older Australians are discovering first-class travel on a beer budget. The nomads account for nearly a third of the total domestic trips taken, and their ranks are growing, the association's data shows. Furthermore, the association found 85% of grey nomads felt closer to their spouse partner compared with 65% of non-campers. And 95% of respondents believed camping reduced stress. If you feel inspired to ditch the home and hit the road, do your research first, though. Would-be nomads have much to consider. Which vehicle? This depends in part on your level of fitness as well as your budget. Grey nomads Graham and Louise Rose, who hitched a trailer to the back of their four-wheel drive before hitting the highway from their hometown of Bundaberg to Tasmania, urged travellers to consider their level of fitness. A downside to having a trailer is we have to pack up everything whenever we move, something which takes time and effort and which people travelling in caravans or mobile homes don't have to do, Mr. Rose said. Motorhomes provide comfort and style, but are not as portable as a trailer. Communications. This is vital, so think about how you will access the internet on your travels and stay in contact with family. Many motorhomes come with satellite dishes that provide broad coverage. For those using trailers, a good mobile phone is essential, especially for downloading essential apps. There is a blog for grey nomads where those on the road recommend certain apps and websites with useful information. This includes the Bureau of Meteorology website for weather forecasts, an app for best camping sites, and even one for national public toilets. You'll find more information at greynomadaustralia.com.au or search Facebook for the Grey Nomads homepage. Medical advice. The more planning you do before your trip, the better it will be. A trip to your GP is recommended for grey nomads, especially those on medication and who may have repeat scripts. Job spots. If you're a relatively fit nomad, you may be able to work your way across the country. GreyNomadsJobs.com is a website dedicated to the 55-plus age group traveller keen on working while touring. That's GreyNomadsJobs.com. Jobs include free parking sites in exchange for helping out on a farm, part-time work at a country store, and volunteer work with camel races in Western Australia. You may want to initially hire a caravan or mobile home to road test your dream. There will always be hitches, but few can't be overcome. You may also want to take a training course before you set out, which will provide confidence in towing a caravan, parking, and maintaining your vehicle. Remember to budget for fuel, the price of which can vary widely from state to state and country and city. And lastly, you've left behind the deadlines, so take time to stop, stay, and explore the country.
You're listening to Optimal Life on the 2RPH network. And we're moving on to finance now, and this article is by Sophie Ellsworth in moneysaverhq.com.au, How to Find a Financial Planner Who Suits You. Money advice doesn't come cheap, so you need the right professional to help, she writes. Finding the right person to get financial advice from can be tricky, and many people are just relying on family members for monetary guidance. There's no denying many Australians have been left duddled by supposed experts who have given them shoddy advice and left them worse off. Banking giant National Australia Bank recently revealed it would set aside $1.2 billion to compensate victims, including those who received dodgy advice from planners linked to the bank. And rival bank ANZ set aside $559 million for customer-related remediation, including poor advice. The big banks were hauled over the coals in the Financial Services Royal Commission for disgraceful acts such as charging fees for no service, billing dead people, and mischarging customers. But new research by financial comparison website Finder quizzed 1,000 Australians and found when it comes to seeking advice, 42% receive financial advice from parents, grandparents, and relatives. 26% do an online search. 24% use financial comparison websites. Financial advisers in Australia must be licensed by the Australian Securities and Investment Commission or be an authorised representative of an Australian Financial Services licensee. Before using an adviser, people should check the ASIC register to ensure the person is registered. The Financial Planning Association of Australia's Chief Executive Officer, Dante Dugori, admitted planners' reputations had taken a hit. You can find a planner by referrals or going onto the FPA website or using our dating app for consumers called Match My Planner, he said. It's just certified financial planners that enables you to have an non-committal conversation and interaction with a human being that could potentially be your planner in a safe environment. But cost has remained a barrier for many people seeking professional financial advice. Mr. Dugori said the average charge for a statement of advice, that's a document that sets out the advice given the consumer by the licensed financial planner or advisor, was about $2,500. Finder.com.au's spokeswoman, Bessie Hassan, said it was important when seeking financial advice, whether professionally or from family or friends, to ensure it was from someone trustworthy. However, keeping in mind that both your personal financial situation as well as the current economic climate are likely vastly different to what they have been experienced, so proceed with caution, she said. A recent ASIC report into financial advice found the biggest barriers to getting advice were the cost, 35%, a person's financial circumstances being too limited, 29%, self-managing finances, 26%, and not trusting financial advisors, 19%. And that was Sophie Ellsworth on How to Find a Financial Planner Who Suits You.
here's another financial type article called How Long a Nest Egg Needs to Last You by Anthony Keane from the Daily Telegraph of November 2020. If you want to know how long your money should last in retirement, base it on age 100. This may sound far-fetched, but a new research note by the Actuaries Institute suggests that rapidly increasing lifespans mean that 100 should be the target for new retirees. Current life expectancy tables used by many financial planners use 87 for women, but the Actuaries Institute says people also should consider how much this will increase between now and the time someone retiring today reaches their 80s or 90s. A healthy, well-educated female entering retirement today who had an affluent career and enjoys a good quality of housing is just as likely to live beyond age 100 as she is to die before age 80, it says. Actuary Jim Hennington, author of the research note and a member of the Actuaries Institute Retirement Incomes Working Group, said there was uncertainty about how long today's retirees would live. 50% of us live longer than our life expectancy, he said. A couple of average health, age 65 and 62, need a plan that lasts until the male is 100 in order that they can be 80% sure their financial plan meets their potential lifespan. Planning for Prosperity advisor Bob Bodrica said there was a high chance of one member of a couple reaching age 90, so that was the age his firm often modelled retirement projections on. When you say 100 to people, they laugh and say, "Nobody in my family has reached that," he said. Mr. Bajika said there were generally three phases of retirement, an initial active period often lasting 10 to 15 years, followed by a period of staying closer to home, and finally, just existence near the end of life. For those without the cash reserves to last to 100, there are options, including the age pension and other government assistance, while people with property can access reverse mortgages or the federal government's pension loan scheme. Meanwhile, separate retirement research by asset management firm Franklin Templeton has found less than a quarter of retirees are working with a financial advisor.
What the New Age Retiree Wants. It's an article from Australian Over 50s Living and Lifestyle Guide. The baby boomer generation are up-and-coming new wave of Australian seniors, and they are hardly anything like their parents and grandparents before them. Well and truly bitten by the travel bug and the desire for luxury, it was only a matter of time before retirement villages overtook a massive overhaul. The current retiree generation are living the good life. They can work when they want, live where they want, and travel to any place they want. With no more worries about raising kids and working full-time jobs, they can spend their time on the good stuff. Statistics show that Australians over 76 years of age are the happiest in the country. This is due to three main areas in their lives that they can finally sit back and enjoy: financial security, sense of understanding about who they are and what they want, and strong relationships. Retirement communities across Australia are showing just how modern they can be, with directors eager to separate them from nursing homes and aged care facilities. These days, retirement communities are more focused on encouraging residents to be active and entertained on a daily basis. With Australians living longer, it's important to facilitate this to ensure a long and happy life. Only a handful of years ago, entering retirement was seen as an ending of a sort. Instead of seeing their life accomplishments as a beginning, it was seen as an end. But no more. The facilities being constructed as part of Australian retirement communities are part and parcel of turning every day into a holiday. Residents live within walking distance of swimming pools, gyms, lawn bowls fields, community halls with theatres, top quality restaurants and cafes. All of these additions are available to use every day of the year, with the main aim to get seniors active and enjoying themselves. While most people these days don't even know their neighbours, in a modern retirement community, you can be as sociable as you want, turn strangers into best friends with everyone in the same phase of life. Similar to a high school or university atmosphere, it's more than just a new home, it's a new lifestyle. There's also a greater connectivity to the community at large. With these facilities located right in metropolitan areas, residents are able to remain connected and close to everything they could want or need. Studies have shown that isolation and depression can lead to significant health issues. No longer are Australians of the age of 50 deemed too old to contribute to society. These days, they are just as likely to get out and travel than their younger counterparts, and retirement villages are proud to encourage it. And that was what the new age retiree wants from Australian Over 50s Living and Lifestyle Guide.
Virginia, thank you very, very much for that. Well, ladies, that's about all we've got time for in our program today. What an interesting one. There, Lynn, you're reading about pesky salespeople. You gave us some good ideas there. And younger skin. Boy, I like that. That retirement communities one that you had there, Virginia, most interesting, wasn't it? It's changing. They said 76 is the happiest time
happiest
of your life.
Happiest time. We've still got a way to go.
We have something to look forward to. Ladies, thank you both very, very much. And we'll certainly look forward to your company again soon. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye, Dave.
Thanks. Bye.